Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how we are profitable while most real estate niches are in the red.
We were talking about this earlier today. I was thinking how I wrap my head around this and what I think about is who's losing sleep right now. That for me is my alternate title.
You know, I look at everything like risk, and we'll get into this in the meat of the show, but you know, it's very, very risky to have all of your eggs in one basket.
It's true.
If you're like, let's say, an apartment building owner, did you do anything wrong? No, it's just nobody could have predicted this situation. But
it's true.
I think if you have most apartment buildings that I know of are in really commercial real estate are based on 75% occupancy pays all your bills in a best case scenario.
Gosh.
And then that 10, it's even really probably higher than that, 85 to 90%. So it's that last 10% is profit.
Yeah.
So when you get a substantial number of people that are allowed to not pay, and I don't care how you feel about that, that's just a fact, then it's gonna cause some massive financial hardship. So like Jill said, if we had a bunch of apartment buildings, I'd be losing some serious sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then even worse would be office buildings.
Right.
So before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Nick wrote, I'm about to call the county for a couple of properties I have under contract to purchase. What things should I be asking the county when I call? Good stuff. So Nick obviously is doing his due diligence and making sure he wants to buy the properties. The first thing I do is I don't want to call the county and be that guy and ask them every last question when I have a lot of answers of my own. So the first thing I would do is I use NeighborScoop. I go between NeighborScoop or Title Pro, because you have that, Nick, and you can get the ownership information. You can get the vesting deed if you didn't already get it from the seller, confirm ownership. You can check out, you know, zoning if you need to, confirm size, confirm, you know, annual taxes. There's all kinds of things you can do. The things that you call the county for, the few things you might need help with from them are they current on their taxes? Stuff like that, you know, and how far back does it go? If they're not current, you know, did they stop paying in 2016 or did they stop paying in 2019, whatever it is, get the total amount of taxes. It's very rare, but you can ask them to, are there any liens or things that you can spot that you see here on the property, anything else that's been recorded against the property? What's possible? This is my favorite thing. This is usually why I'm calling too. It's really those two things, you know, and I might, while I'm talking to, I'm going to verify everything's right too. I'm like, hey, just to make sure for ownership, I see, you know, George Smith Family Trust. Is that what you've got? Yep, that's what we have too. So I'll just, you know, double check that. Even though I'm still, like, again, I probably got the vesting deed already because I did it myself. But the big thing, too, is I'm asking the county, you know, what's possible? I want to know, you know, do they know if it's buildable? Is there anything that they know about it? You know, is there utilities? It looks like there's utilities at the street. You know, what can I build there? Such, you know, for example, can I put a mobile there? Does it, if the answer is no, you know, are there any restrictions on as far as what kind of site built or what kind of building we have to put there? You know, find out about, you know, anything like that that you need to know that you're, as you put in your posting, convey to the seller. So that's, and again, I don't want to waste their time, so I'm not going to call them and ask them all the questions that I have at my fingertips. I can do that.
Some of the real nebulous stuff that should be on your due diligence list when you buy a piece of property or whether you're deciding to buy a piece of property can't be found on the internet. If you just look at it as a number, from a number standpoint, I bet 90% of it you can do on your own through mm-hmm. NeighborScoop and everything else. But one of the things is use.
Right.
And so Jill said it, or zoning. Mm-hmm. So like there's, especially like in California, there's a lot of zoning designations, but somebody spent a lot of time on this mm-hmm. back in the day. So it's strange. And so finding out exactly what, I struggle with this online. Like when I go up and look, we just bought a property that's LCD 22. Mm-hmm. And I, to this day, I don't know what that is. It's some version of, it's in LA County.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't get we had to call the county. Mm-hmm. And it still was kind of nebulous.
Right.
So zoning and use is really I think, the real valuable stuff.
That's it. Exactly.
Today's topic, why we are profitable while most real estate niches are in the red. This is the meat of the show.
I was reading an article, and what you just said about the 75% occupancy, is that same for residential and commercial?
You mean like apartments and offices?
Right.
Yeah, I think actually, you know, 75 is really, I think, I don't think low. I'm right. Yeah, I think it's low. I think it's closer to 90%. So the 75 comes from real small apartment buildings. So you've got four people in an apartment, a quad, you know, you've got three, four, it needs to be full. You can't run on
three. To make money.
Right, but a Class A apartment building that's got 300 or 400 apartments in it.
Yeah.
It's closer to 90%, especially if it's leveraged, like REITs leverage the heck out of it.
That's true. I'm sure it's low. Because I was reading this article last week about New York, and they, even though they opened up, when they opened up, everybody could go back, you know, just in the last few weeks, days, that New York, you could come back to work or work in the office at like 50% capacity. Some of the places were as low as 6% capacity.
Mm-hmm. So even
I'm not kidding. So I'm like, and you know they're not paying their bills. And that's, I'm like, oh, talk about, that's my thing here. I'm like, for me, I'm thinking about who's losing sleep. And it's these poor guys.
You know, that just fosters all kinds of real physical plant issues, you know. If you've ever owned a boat, you know you have to use it or it's just going to sit there and rot.
Right.
Same with the building.
Exactly. I was thinking, I was hearing too, I was on a neighborhood, what do you call it? It was like a neighborhood call with our mayor and the city manager and different people talking about, this was last week going into 4th of July weekend, and they were all talking about what to do over 4th of July weekend. And it was really great because they let the public, us, call in and ask questions and or just make a statement, basically. And this very sweet gentleman said, look, I've been in this beach since the 70s. I have since moved away, but I own four business buildings on Pier Avenue. He said, and of those four of them, no one's paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you guys, and it's really a bummer with this whole thing. It's a lot of it's just inconsistency. We can open, then we close. Open, and then we can close. It's just, you know, I'm just thinking about him. He's losing sleep. It's not really about what's going on. It's about this poor guy. Who would have thought? And these are buildings worth probably no less than $10 million a piece.
Yeah.
That's because of number. Where they are.
Super good number.
I'd say that's a good bottom number. And here he's got nobody paying rent. He's got it. He's responsible for his mortgage and it's just losing
hopefully
sleep.
Doesn't have one since the 70s. Hopefully. You know, hopefully didn't refi and all that stuff.
Right.
That's really why the show is called, you know, Real Estate Niches. And when I wrote the title, Jill's got a different perspective on it. And that's what hopefully makes this show kind of fun. But I look at it from a corporate Wall Street financing standpoint. And if you own shares in a real estate investment trust and you're going to look at quarterly performance, it's a disaster out there. I mean, everybody got sent home. The last thing you want to own right now is anything to do with office buildings.
Right.
You know, everybody got sent home. I did a walk around. So Jill and I, when we went to go look for office space in an adjacent beach town, this is probably, I think our lease is up in like November or some number like that. And so we were begging the property owner, the office building owner, to give us adjacent space. If it
more
comes
space?
Up, please call us. We're growing out of our space. And he said, yeah, really? No, that's funny.
Yeah.
So
and nope. I even knocked on doors. I personally knocked on neighbors' doors like, are you going to renew?
So we couldn't get any adjacent space. Yeah. So we started, we were looking for and found, you know, alternative space. Well, I don't need to finish this thought. And you know it. You know how this story ends. Now, I walked the building yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
There's exactly two tenants left in there.
Yeah.
In that entire building.
Mm-hmm. So.
And us.
It's
so
scary.
You know, and this is a tiny, tiny little example of, you know, Manhattan skyscrapers. What's happening with that?
Right.
It's tragic and sad.
I know.
So, on to the show.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be great to buy a piece of property for $4,000 that's worth 40 and sell it for 8 or 10? That's the business we're in. That's right. The business that our members are in.
Right.
And it's working out great. And when all this stuff happened, I said, oh, that's about the end of Land Academy. No, like, I really said that to myself. Did you say that?
No.
Now everybody, like a lot, tons of people are signing up. You know, we have some attrition. As you know, we have a 500 person cap. And that was one of the best decisions Jill ever made, ever. And so we had a lot of attrition when this all happened, which I understand. But boy, I mean, we get a ton of new signups all the time. And reports, even better, reports that this is really working at the same level that it's working for Jill and I. So now's the time to buy.
We have members that left us years ago. Like, they got in, they weren't real serious about it. I understand. And they started doing other stuff. And now they're like, I know how to put food on the table. And they're back.
Yeah.
So it's really good. I'm so glad. Yeah, I was just going to say, I was thinking, once upon a time, some of the things that we look, I never looked at office space. You know, when we talk about, you know, like branching off into other areas and you know, not having all your eggs in one basket and looking at different property types. One of the, it's funny that we never threw around office space. I don't know why. Neither of us have.
I know why. That's not an accident.
Okay, and, well, and because, well, we looked at apartments.
Well, because I...
Well, explain it. Why would you never do an... Okay, pre-COVID times. Let's just say in a beautiful market, why would you not never want an office building?
My very first experience as an adult professional out of college was to work for full commission commercial real estate broker in Detroit during a recession, coming off a tail of a recession. And they threw me in the office space department. I just walked in and said, can I do this? And they said, sure, we need somebody in the office space department. Well, you can imagine why. And so I immediately got control, a listing for over 1 million square feet of office space and leased exactly zero of it a year later. Office space as a product type.
I'm sorry, it's not funny. That's crazy.
My second year. Hey, ramen, a lot of ramen that year.
Yeah.
My second year, I killed it, you know, because I changed product types. I changed the healthcare. So, you know, and nobody asked me to do that. I just did it. But this isn't about me. Office space as a product, some people swear by it. They love it. Institutions love to buy Class A office buildings, you know, and then swoon somebody like J.P. Morgan who owns or needs a ton of space. And so it's a whole different thing than what we do. Mm-hmm. It's all about leverage and raising equity portions and creating the debt piece that's all perfect and it all matches. And then you can get it on a cap rate, so it cash flows, and on and on and on, and play that game, that institutional game, while you raise rent 3% every year, and it creates a different capitalization rate from which to sell the building. And you usually sell it to another institutional buyer or a real estate investment trust. So it's a relatively small group of people that trade these assets all the time because they're placing equity and placing capital. Mm-hmm. That's the game there. It's not about the real estate. It has nothing to do with like self-preservation and retiring, and that's not, and I never wanted to sit around in a suit on the 40th floor somewhere and recapitalize a building. And so I quickly moved on from that and realized that it's just kind of a money game, which is fine. I'm not knocking that.
Right.
I think what it all comes down to anyway, and this is why we are sitting here right now. It comes down to buying property under value. Mm-hmm. And so when you can remove a lender and all this and take your suit off and not have to go to work, it's sounding exactly like our job description right now. And this has been our job description since, I got out of that fast. It's a lot. There's a game. It's a game.
Yeah.
This isn't a game what we do. You know, what we do is we buy real estate, land, very, very inexpensively, and resell it to somebody who wants it or is going to use it.
Yep.
So I don't, I've owned exactly two office buildings in my life, and it both ended in a mess.
I forgot it. You did do that. I forgot. How about apartment buildings? Ever owned that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got out of those okay.
Okay.
And rental houses. Jill and I still have some rental houses, and those seem to be fine. And those I really think that's because the tenants, we have a personal relationship with the tenants and the family members.
We undercharge a bit too, by the way. That's another thing.
We pay
thing.
Cash for it.
Yeah.
When you start leveraging, that's why the real estate world, this is really what this is about. This is really the meat of the show. When you start leveraging both debt and equity and playing a game, this debt equity game, and it's not just real estate, it's companies and everything. And then the thing that's creating, that making that work, the income stream, which is a single point of failure, which is a bunch of people in an apartment building who are losing their jobs or whatever, the thing's going to come crashing down. And so that's what we're seeing. Then that's very, very risky in my mind, and that's truly why I got out of that. What we do, buying an asset for cash with a title agent, $10,000, let's just say, that's worth 80, and we sell it for 40, I don't see any risk in that. What's the worst thing that can happen? I end up with a grossly undervalued asset that I handpicked out of 50 or so at that day that I want to sell me their property. So that's why we're sitting here. Exactly. And that's really what this is all about.
Thank
and that's
you.
Why I sleep pretty good.
Happy you could join us today. Monday through Friday, we're right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Price Precision, the Price Precision Effect, and How It Works for Us. You are not alone in the real estate ambition.
Yeah, in case you didn't catch that, we are Monday through Friday, Land Academy Show. We might talk about houses now and then because stuff just comes up and it applies, but it's back to Monday through Friday, Land Academy.
So a professor at Cornell released a study on something that he calls a price precision effect. And it turns out it's something that Jill and I have been doing for a lot of years. And then we teach it to all our members, and it works great. So we'll talk all about it tomorrow.
The Land Academy Show does remain commercial free for you, our loyal listeners. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.